Hey, it's Rebecca Smith from the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, and it's time for Missouri Health Talks, a project where we listen in on Missourians' conversations about access to healthcare. This week we hear from Denicia Duarica, who's a urogynecologist, and Elizabeth Mambuatsi, a pediatric urologist at the MU Women's and Children's Hospital. They spoke about some of the misconceptions about urinary tract infections, or UTIs. Here's Dr. Duarica.
The only risk factor related to UTI and intercourse, one, is the use of spermicide. That increases your risk of UTI. Mm-hmm. And two, frequency of intercourse, which could be high frequency or even low frequency as well. So with respect, we would not recommend use of spermicide. There's more effective birth control that should be used than spermicide, and it increases your risk of irritation and UTI. So that's the one thing that is well studied. But overall, we have multiple non-sexually active women who have UTIs. You have your infant population, and I have my elderly population. And lots of these women are widowed or divorced or partners are unable to have intercourse, and they have UTIs. So I think the stigma between UTI and sex should not even exist in the first place. Just think about your anatomy, and we as women have an anatomy that allows us to bring children into this world. So that's why our anatomy is the way it is. Unfortunately, some parts are closer to the urethra and bladder than others, so it increases our risk of UTI.
I think it's one of those things that magically you think is working, and so you're going to tell them void before sex and void after sex. But I really think it's a water problem. Like if the urine is concentrated, it's going to burn, whether you had sex or not, mm-hmm. right? So increasing water, and most of these, they don't drink enough water. If you just change your water, I mean, it gets concentrated, you don't want to pee, it burns. So you definitely don't drink, you cuddle and say, oh, I'm hurting, I have a UTI. They check it, of course, there's bacteria everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then you get antibiotics, then of course you feel better. You're going to drink more with the medications. It's just flushing the system.
With women, I usually see the extremes. I see the women who are well hydrated, and they tell me, I have my 34-ounce bottle and I fill it 3 times a day. They're very good at that. But then you have the other extreme who will drink coffee and tea all day. So coffee and tea, yes, there's fluid in it, but we really don't count that as your water intake. We want you just to have simple water, avoid juice and sweeteners and things with different colors.
You have to make 2 to 3 liters of urine a day. Older kids, adults. So that's a lot of water intake to make that happen. And unfortunately, there's so much push for milk consumption that there's really not maybe a little bit of the whole bottle that they send to school. And we don't really think about it that way, but that's the major problem because it's connected to their bowel habits, it's connected to their bladder habits, and it's all related. And what we can do at schools for all the school districts is, because I do send letters with the children that every 1.5 to 2 hours, please allow them to go pee. Actually encourage them to pee and drink, not a sip, big gulp of water and go back to play or half a glass. But I really think every kid needs to do that.
That was Denicia Duarica and Elizabeth Mambuatsi speaking about some of the misconceptions about UTIs. November actually happens to be Bladder Health Month. That's it for this week's Missouri Health Talks, which was reported and produced by Veronica Moheski. Tune in next week for more conversations from throughout the state about health and access. I'm Rebecca Smith. Thanks for listening.